How many know that we can be sincerely deceived? We can be sincere. We can have good intentions. We can think well of ourselves. As a matter of fact, we're very good at justifying ourselves. Well, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. It's not as bad as that sin. We're good at justifying ourselves, you know. Well, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I'd be a good Christian. You know. We're good at blaming. Nothing new under the sun. I mean, that's what first thing Adam and Eve did, right? They began to blame each other and blame the serpent. And it's always somebody else's fault, you know, for what I do. But God is looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart. He's looking at, you know, us. And so we need to be honest with God. And an honest heart God can work with. Amen? But if we're deceiving ourselves, if we're fooling ourselves, or even trying to justify our own actions or justify our own lives, we're going to miss it. As a matter of fact, there are also people who think that if I just do enough good things, I'm going to earn enough merit or enough credit with God to go to heaven. That's also a deception. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It's not by my goodness that I get to be with Jesus. Amen? It's by God's goodness, God's righteousness that I get to be with Him. My hope, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We've been sharing in this together about what does it really mean to believe. Most people, even a lot of non-Christian people, can quote John 3:16 and tell you what it says. For God so loved the world, I learned it somewhere in Sunday school, and they can just blast it right out and tell you what it says. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Well, I met somebody at the park the other day who, I think Dave met her too. And, you know, afterwards she said she liked the music, and she came up and talked, and she said that, if you like my song, then maybe your church is right for me. But if you don't, it probably isn't. I said, well, go ahead. So she sang me a song. And she was orbiting Pluto somewhere. I don't know what it was about. It was all riddled. And maybe in her own mind she knew what it was. But I says, well, I said, the song is pretty. And you have a pretty voice. But I'm not really tracking with you. I'm not understanding it. And so she explained a little bit about what it was about. But you know, how many know that it's important that when we communicate in a way where people can understand? Hello, somebody, right? I wonder what they're talking about. It sounded really deep and profound, but I haven't got a clue what it was about. I mean, Jesus broke it down. A man spoke the language of the people and spoke to them in parables. And, you know, so a sower went out to sow seed. You know, okay. Anyways, but what I sensed in this was that there was this mixture of New Age, Wicca, Christianity, Buddhism, Spiritism, all just kind of mixed together in a nice little package. That was what I was getting from the presentation, okay? And then I said, well, I said, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ, He Himself in John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, He is the only way. She says, well, I'm the daughter of a Southern Baptist preacher. I said, oh, interesting. And she says, and I believe that whosoever believes on the Lord shall be saved. So see, this is the problem, folks, is that people need to understand, then what does that word believe mean? What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved? You see, a lot of people think that I just have this thing in my head that I understand and I believe that Jesus exists. Yes, I believe in a God, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross and He rose again and He ascended into heaven. I believe that. Yes. Oh, absolutely. So according to that scripture right there, I'm saved because I believe that. How many know the demons believe that too and they tremble? The devil believes that. As a matter of fact, the devil can quote scripture better than you can. And I can. So that doesn't save you, amen? Just having an intellectual agreement with something that is true doesn't mean it's genuine faith. Authentic. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a transformation that takes place. Jesus didn't come just to add to your life some nice things. He didn't just come to patch you up a little bit and improve. It wasn't a self-improvement tape, amen? He came to transform hearts and lives, to make us into a brand new creation that would love God, that would honor God, that would want to serve God. Not as a means to justification, but as a result of being justified in our spirit, in our hearts, being made right with God, we now desire the things that He desires. I love the things He loves now. I have a new normal. I used to hate those things. And those creepy Christian people, you know. Stay away from me. I was like a cockroach, you know. I like to hide under in dark spots. And they come around with them smiles. And especially if they're carrying one of them big books, man. You know, with a cross on it. And scary. But I learned enough of the gab, you know, to blow them off. I had some bringing up. You know, I had some scriptures. I knew a little bit about God. I could tell you some stuff so that I use that. How many know people will do that? They will use those things to try to divert you so that you're not getting too close. Why? Because they like the darkness and they really don't want to come into the light. So they'll try to make you believe that they're in the light when actually they're in darkness. And there are people who are actually in darkness who believe that they're in the light. Because the devil will appear as an angel of light. He will appear as a beautiful angel. Somebody say amen. And he will say, I am the way. Come and follow me. I will show you things. I have secret knowledge that nobody knows about. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? In the very beginning, in the garden, God's holding a secret knowledge from you. I know something he doesn't know, or he doesn't want you to know. So listen, if you listen to me, I'm going to introduce you to some things that nobody else knows. Secret knowledge. Yeah, it's enticing, isn't it? I want to be an insider. That's why people get involved in secret cults and groups, you know, secret societies, is because they want to be an insider and they want to know the inside scoop that nobody else knows about. And so they draw them in. They reel them in slowly. On the surface, everything seems bright and happy and cheery and family. But then as they draw them closer in, it becomes a little more clearer. And then there comes a time where you're going to have to make the decision. Somebody say amen. Whether I'm going to keep going this direction or I'm going to bail. Something ain't right, and something inside of me is saying this ain't right. But if I don't listen to that inner voice of reason that God has given me, amen, I'm going to be in trouble. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to control you. He wants to own you. He wants you to become his slave. And he wants to put you under religious oppression and bondage to performance and doing good deeds even, because he knows that he can use those things to keep you captive to him, to where you're always living to please, but you never quite know how much is enough. How good is good enough? Have I arrived at good enough yet, God? Do you understand what I'm saying today? It's not by my goodness. It's not by my righteousness. It's by Christ and His righteousness that I am justified. And when my heart is right with God, I will live to please Him. I will want to please my Master. Amen. But not as a means to be justified. But as a result of justification, a good way to explain justification is just as if it had never happened. When God forgives you, it's just as if you'd never done it. But then that old devil comes along and says, remember what you did? Right? Rubs it in our face some more. Tries to beat us down. Keep us captive to performance. Well, I didn't perform well enough to get it. See, God likes me a little bit more when I do well. How many know that God loved you when you were yet in sin? Amen? Not because you were doing well. He loved us first. For God so loved the world. Lost in its sin, separated. God loved the world. One of the things that is missing today, and I've talked a little bit about it last week, is this thing called discernment. Discernment is the ability to see clearly, to be able to make correct judgments between what is of God and what is not. And there's a lot of people, such as this young lady that I met, who is confused. She's all mixed up with all this stuff. And thinking that, well, maybe all roads lead to God. I just choose whatever path I want to get on to reach God. Then that sounds good, because on the surface, everybody here wants to have world peace. Would you agree? Wouldn't that be great? We can all just get along and sing kumbaya and have world peace. And, you know, how many know that's not going to happen? It's not going to happen except when Jesus Christ returns. However, you can have personal peace with the Lord now through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the awesome thing. Because the world's not going to have outer peace until it has inner peace. And the inner peace is not going to be the peace that the devil offers them. See, the devil offers you a counterfeit light. It appears to be right. It seems to be right on the surface. And I want you to take a look at this with me again, if you would, in Matthew 6:22. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, in the King James, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Kind of interesting. The light that is in you could be darkness. Huh? How great is that darkness? Again, we are living in a time today in our nation where people are calling good evil and evil good. If your eye is wholesome, if your eye is healthy, if your natural eye is healthy, then you can see clearly. Amen? If you have to drive and navigate, you got to have good vision. You know, some people struggle with night vision. They can't see well at night. But we have to be able to see clearly in order to navigate correctly. See, the problem is this, is that there are people who need corrective lenses who don't realize they need corrective lenses. A person who is used to not seeing well thinks that that is just the way it's supposed to be. It's just normal for me to see things this way. Right? I mean, one day, it's like the teacher calls and says, hey, your daughter's having trouble seeing the board. It's like, we had no idea. You know? Take her in and get her tested. Her eyes are worse than mine. What? She didn't know why. It was her normal. It was her view of reality. She just thought, well, you're supposed to strain to see. You get it? We need our spiritual eyes to be fine-tuned, to be focused, or to be single, in order for us to have a clear perspective so that we can receive the fullness of Christ. If our eye, our inner eye is corrupted, if it is damaged, if it is not healthy, then we cannot have a full understanding of Christ. People are living without realizing that their inner eye is messed up. It's damaged. It is corrupted, or it is mixed with sin. And only Jesus Christ can heal that inner vision. Because again, a lot of people say, well, to me, God is like this. But they're talking from their perspective, and their perspective could be obscured because their inner heart is not correct. It's not seen clearly. So everybody has an opinion, right? Well, God might be like that to you, but to me, God's like this. How many know that you and I need our lenses corrected? Amen? To see clearly, to understand who God really is. How many would agree with me that it's very important that people really know who God is? That they're getting the right Jesus here. Not a Jesus to my own fashioning, because I kind of like Jesus to be like this for me. That's idolatry. But I need the true Jesus. I want to know the true Jesus. And I cannot understand or know the true Jesus unless my inner sight is restored. That's why, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You get it? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what I mean by seeing is that we will be able to hear the Word. We will begin to understand the Word, and we'll begin to visualize what God is saying. First, God spoke the Word and said, let there be light. First, there was the sound of His voice, and then there was the visual. So when we hear the Word, it produces in us a visual, if you will, of what God is saying. And we can say, oh, I get it. I see. Blessed are the pure in heart. If their eye is single, if they're focused, amen? They're not double-minded. They're not living partially for God and the rest of the time for themselves, but they're living sold out for Jesus Christ, then they will see clearly. You see, that's why John says, do not love the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are many distractions, many things that the enemy is trying to entice us with to get us off focus. We have to focus on the prize. We have to look to the end and say, Jesus is the joy that's waiting at the end. He is the finish line. He is the author and finisher of our faith. I am pressing on towards the mark of the high call. I am focused. I am in the race. I am on the hunt. I don't have time to swat fleas. I'm on the hunt. Amen? Staying focused. Don't allow the enemy to just derail you, but stay focused. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in communion with God. Amen? And if you are single-minded, if your eye is single, your whole being will be full of light. What is that light? That light is the glory of God. And when the light is on, you can see all the details. You know what I'm talking about? You've been in a room with just a little candle, and it's like you can see a few things, but boy, you hit that the main light on, and all of a sudden everything comes into perspective. You can see. Do you understand? That's why we should not flirt with sin. Because it'll obscure your vision. And then what happens is we lose discernment, the ability to discern between what is of God and what is not. That's what happened with this young lady, you see. She didn't have any discernment. Her inner eye had been corrupted by allowing too many other things to enter in. And it was obscuring her vision. She didn't realize it. In her own mind, she was normal. Are you hearing me? Now, I admit I'm not normal. All right. But you know what? What used to be abnormal to me is now normal. I have a new normal. And so, if people don't get you, it's okay. Right? I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to be focused. Most people are not following Jesus. Most people are not on the right path, folks. Most people are not able to see clearly. Only those whose minds are stayed on Him, those who have a single vision. Do you know what I'm talking about? If your eye is damaged, you're capable of having double vision. Double-minded, that's what it means. And James said, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. I've witnessed too many people, young people, growing up. At one time, they were happy, cheery, you know, full of fun, full of love, full of life. And then somewhere along the road, the enemy started doing some interference. He started diverting them with these things, with video games, with movies, with certain music, with certain acquaintances, friends, people, whatever. The enemy has a whole, you know, plethora of ways to try to derail a person. So he's always trying, he's screaming for our attention all the time. Hey, over here, over here! And God says, keep your mind on where you're going. If you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Amen? If you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Keep your eye on the prize. Because the devil's going to holler. He's going to jump up and down. He just likes to get attention. You know why? He wants you to worship him. And he gets believers to worship him without even realizing they're doing it. Because they're bowing down to these other idols, these other things. And I've watched too many young people grow up. At one time they were vibrant. Even some that were on fire for Jesus. And where are they today? Shipwrecked. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. In Romans 1:18 it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Push down, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile or vain, wicked, idolatrous in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their hearts were darkened. This scripture makes it clear, folks, that everyone has been given a certain measure of light. And that light is an understanding of what is true. And to those who will embrace the light that they have, the truth that they have, more will be given. But to those who reject or resist the truth or the light of the truth, even what they seem to have will be taken away. And so people who at one time had a certain knowledge or a belief or a faith that at least there was a creator or something bigger than I am. You ask a third grade class from that. Oh, God is big. God is upstairs. God's in heaven. Whatever. They've got a picture of God, a knowledge, an understanding that there is a God. Until now we get into college and now it's like, oh, God doesn't exist anymore. What's happened? The light that was in them has become darkened because of an inward eye that has been contaminated by sin. If your eye is unhealthy, you will not see clearly. You will not be able to discern between right and wrong, what is good and what is evil. Your good can be evil. And that's exactly what we see today, where now people are calling that which is good, evil. They're despisers of those who are good. And the opposite is true. They're calling what's evil, good. This is acceptable. Why is that? because their hearts have become darkened, because they rebelled against the light that they did have. God has given to each one a certain measure of light and understanding. And we're responsible for that light. If we resist or reject that light, then we will end up becoming darkened and blind and unable to see clearly, to know how to live, how to walk, how to please God, and ultimately how to find Him. Do you understand how important it is that if you're here today and you're hearing this message and there's some light being delivered to you, don't resist the light that you're getting right now. Embrace it. If you receive the light, if you come into the light, amen, you'll receive more. But if you resist the light, even what you had, you will lose. That's how people become hardened. We are witnessing in America a gospel hardening in the church. They've heard it so many times, but they've resisted it. They haven't really accepted it. They've agreed intellectually. Maybe that's a good message. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there has been no accepting and no application of it in their lives. And therefore, even what they have received has done them no good. There's no fruit. There is a hardening that takes place. So now, the word no longer has a way to penetrate. But I've got some good news for you. And it's not because I switched to Geico. But I've got some good news for you. God is able to soften your heart again. God is able to break up the fallow ground of your heart and make it pliable and make it and bring it into a condition where you can now receive again. God wants to restore you. There is blindness, folks, even in the church in America. Because of a lack of accepting what is known and what God has revealed, and because of willful disobedience to God, people become hardened and they become darkened. And now the things that you once blushed about no longer bothers you. Somebody say amen. Amen. You couldn't watch that show before, but now it's no problem. You couldn't listen to that stuff before, but now it's no problem. You couldn't talk and use that language before, but now it's no problem. What's happening? Your soul has become darkened through compromise. You've allowed sin to come in and contaminate your inner eye, and you can no longer see clearly. And that's why God spoke to the lukewarm church in Revelation. He says, I counsel you, amen, to come to me for eye salve. You need the salve of my spirit to anoint your eyes so that you can see clearly again. Because you see, the Laodicean church was a lukewarm church. They were blessed. They had all the prosperity. It kind of sounds like America today, doesn't it? The Laodicean church. What do I need God for? I've got microwave ovens, and we've got flat screen TVs, and we've got 24/7 entertainment, and man, you know, what else do I need? God said in Revelation 3:18, He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. What is He talking about? He's talking about spiritual restoration. So you can see clearly again. Now I looked this up, and there's this eye salve that they actually made in that day called collyrium. And they used to use this in Laodicea to heal and soothe damaged eyes. Collyrium. And God is saying He uses those things sometimes to teach us, you see. He says, you guys need to understand something. That may fix or improve your outward vision, but what you really need is inward vision. Amen. You need your inward vision healed. You need it restored. And the eye salve is the Holy Spirit. It's the healing of God. Amen? So don't be deceived. Don't try to justify yourself. Don't try to think that everything is okay, because again, some people, they don't realize that their vision is messed up. But people around you know that your vision is messed up. Come on. God wants to restore your vision. Do you understand, folks? If your vision is not restored, you're not going to be able to receive from God. The reason why many people do not receive from God is because of obscured vision. When your vision is impaired and you have double vision, you become what's called double-minded. And even when you pray, you can't pray with focus because your mind is saying this and your mind is saying that. One part of you says, yeah, I believe, and the other one says, but I don't know if that's going to happen to me. Or there's all this other garbage in there that's clouding out your vision. You can't see clearly long enough to receive from God. And when you come to God for prayer, all you can see is the filth. All you can see is the failure. All you can see, amen, is the guilt and the shame. And God says, I want to remove that. I want to deal with that in your life. I want to get rid of that in your life. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in shame. Amen? Jesus came to set us free from those things. You don't have to live in your past anymore. Jesus says, forget about your past. Press on into the new day I've given you. Do you see, the devil comes to remind us of the things that God has forgiven us of. Because he wants to divide your mind. He wants you to believe in God, but also believe in yourself. Where in the Bible does it say believe in yourself? Oh, did I just shock anybody with that? How much, that's all we're hearing. Believe in yourself, believe in yourself. It says nowhere to believe in yourself. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, don't trust yourself. Don't even trust your own heart. God is bigger than your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. You get it? Don't trust in you. The problem is we're introverted. We're trusting in ourselves and not in Christ. And when you're looking at yourself, there's no grace, there's no power, there's no ability for you to live only but for a short season. You might be able to do good, but you're going to keep falling on your face until God finally gets it across to you that you cannot do it in your own power. You cannot make it in your own ability. It's only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His ability alone that I can stand. The devil comes up and says, oh, you didn't do good enough today. God's not going to hear you. How many heard that voice? You go to pray, and all of a sudden, you're being reminded of things you did 20 years ago. He's the accuser of the brethren. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. If you are focused on Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness, His ability, His grace, then you will receive what you behold. You will receive what you behold. If you're beholding filth, you will become defiled by it. Somebody say amen. If you're watching junk movies, that stuff will defile you. But if you're beholding Christ and you're focused on Him and His Word, then you will receive what you behold. You will worship what you behold. So what are we focused on? What are we thinking on? Who are we really living for? Are we really living for Jesus Christ? Have we committed ourselves? Have we submitted ourselves to Him? Have we offered our bodies to God, back to God as living sacrifices? Lord, the rest of my life, the rest of me for You? Are we still trying to be Lord of our own life? Do Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Is he really Lord? If you're Lord of your own life, you're not going to be with him, folks. If you're Lord of your own life, your home will not be heaven. You've got to give that over to Jesus Christ. You've got to allow him to rule and reign in you and be your master and follow him. Come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish with this about, it's going almost close to 30 years now. But I was in my bedroom. I was full of myself, full of my ways. I had made a mess of everything and everybody around me. My family was suffering. And all I could see was myself and that they were the problem. And this was the problem and my boss was the problem and whatever else was the problem. But I wasn't seeing myself. And I had to come to the end of myself before I could even turn to Jesus. You see, you're really not ready for Jesus until you're through with yourself. Did I just say that? You're not ready for Jesus until you're through with your ways. You cannot walk in his ways and walk in your ways. Are you ready to walk in his ways? I'm in my bedroom. And God is beginning to show me a film of my life. I had no clue. My light was darkness. I thought I was in the light. I was an enlightened one, you know. But it was darkness until the true light appeared and showed me and began to show me my life. And what I saw was horrible. I couldn't believe how I had treated people. And how selfish I was. And there's no place for me to go. I had to either choose Jesus or it was going to be death for me. That's where I was at that time. So God showed me myself and I came to the end of myself. I said, God, I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of what I've done. How I've hurt people. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want you, Jesus. I want you. I just said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. And I'll tell you, just this, the presence of the Lord filled that room. And the demons were there too. But when the glory of God came in, it was like I had a shower on the inside. And God just completely like swept through me. I just felt like, you know, I had a shower on the inside. I don't know how else to say it. God forgave me. And I got up from there and my wife didn't know what was happening. And I had this Bible I had when I was way back in my teens somewhere stuffed away in a shelf and I was looking for it. I was all of a sudden, it's like I wanted to read the Bible. Imagine that. I told my wife, I said, she started to go into church. These Korean ladies, they'll drag you off to church. You know, you ain't got a choice, but I said, honey, I want to go to church with you Sunday. She says, you do? Wow. What happened? You know, I didn't even know what happened, but Jesus happened. And it was real. And I had this hunger. I couldn't get enough of the word. I couldn't get enough of Jesus. You know, when they had the altar calls, I was always there. You know, when the doors were open, I was always there. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was running away and now I'm running to him. And I plead with you today, if you've been running away from God, turn around. Just turn around, run back to Him, run to Him. He'll embrace you. He'll receive you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a brand new beginning, a brand new start. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. He loves you so much. He bled and died for you, just for you. He paid the price you deserve to pay. Because you owe a debt you can never pay. So Jesus is inviting you today. Not just to give Him your leftovers, but give Him your life. Give Him your heart. Let Him come in. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. Open my door. Are you hearing His voice? Is God speaking to you? You feel that burning in your spirit right now. In your heart, there's something going on. You know God is tugging on the door of your heart. Do yourself a favor. Open the door. And let Him in. Just let Him in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.